Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 6th of December, recording at 10:22 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets, quietly mixed, not much activity. You could say the same for the European stock markets. A few more to the downside than the upside, but very, very small percentage moves. And really, that was also the case across the America's markets, everything under 1%. In the long-dated government bond markets, we had somewhat firmer prices, certainly in Europe and the USA. The US dollar was a little bit steadier. But the euro is still firm here at 133.09, sterling at 157.16, the Australian dollar back up to 98, nearly 99, actually. Precious metals had a strong, well, some of them had quite a strong day. We had new highs for silver and also gold. And silver again broke above that $30 level. Platinum slightly underperformed, but again, gold another strong move as well. And industrial metals were mixed. Crude oil currently trading just under the $90 level. Cocoa was quite strong here today. So was wheat, although soybeans and corn were down a little bit. Corn well off its lows near the close. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, we have really very steady action. It's been quite positive over the during the start of this year. Last month, as you know, was a month of consolidation. But subsequently, we have seen a number of markets move back up towards their highs for the year, and also an increasing number have actually extended those gains a little bit. And if you look at the background, I think that's not all that surprising. Point number one, this is a period of seasonal strength. Next, the more important point, in my view, is that, as we say so often, monetary policy trumps most other factors most of the time, and monetary policy is still quite abundant. Here we have Ben Bernanke announcing, following the poor employment data on Friday from the USA, that the Fed was prepared to step up its quantitative easing if it needed to actually do so. That had come after some other economic data earlier in the week, which had caused people to speculate that the Fed might not continue with its QE for all that much longer. But clearly, Bernanke is in his post and charged with avoiding deflation. And if he doesn't do that, he's certainly going to go down fighting. And I'd bet on Bernanke, actually. So lots of liquidity still sloshing around the system. We do not have a dollar crisis, that's quite clear at this stage, nor do we have a euro crisis, although we have an ongoing European sovereign debt problem. But again, that has been papered over here for a little longer. Or if you take a very negative view of it, say people would just kick the can further down the road. But the point is, in terms of crisis mentality, that that has eased somewhat. We do not have an interest rate problem, although interest rates are certainly going up in the developing, I prefer to say progressing parts of the world because they do have an inflation problem. Now, my feeling is that inflation is the one real risk that we have here that we can see on the horizon, and it is not a problem. A containable problem. We're not a runaway problem at this stage, but it's moving in that direction, and it's really commodity price inflation. And this is something that Owen and I have mentioned over and over again in these broadcasts and in comment of the day. And I do feel that commodity price inflation is going to remain the biggest risk that we face over the next few years. Not the banking crisis, not the sovereign debt crisis. Those are serious problems. But hey, when were there not some serious problems around? They're being addressed. Albeit slowly and in fits and starts, but I don't see those as game breakers. I do see commodity price inflation as a game breaker for at least the medium term, because it can force central banks to ramp up interest rates. We saw that in 2008, when we also got the double whammy, of course, of the much bigger story, which was a very severe banking crisis. Well, I don't think we're going to appear. I don't think we're going to repeat that anytime soon. Again, it rumbles on for a lot of banks, but it's a known problem, and the charts, more importantly in my view, do not suggest that another major banking crisis is in the offing. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a little cough and a drink of water. So, net it all out, and I still think that this is an attractive time to make money in stock markets, and I think that will remain the case, certainly through at least the first quarter of 2011, and quite possibly beyond. I do expect most stock markets to move higher in the first quarter of next year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they end the year higher than they are today. Now, there are a few stock markets that are in what are likely to be exceptionally long trading ranges, and those are the ones that have the most chronic debt problems. And certainly the so-called, the Club Med Group plus Ireland are in that category. And I think the parallel here, as I've said before, is that what they're experiencing is not that dissimilar to the Asian financial crisis that broke in 1997, and those stock markets moved sideways for a number of years. So I think that's quite likely for the most indebted countries. That may also include the UK and the USA in terms of their indices not breaking decisively above their highs that they saw in 2007 or 2008. But that's not a bear market. That's a valuation contraction in my view. And I think that a rolling valuation contraction, they aren't always contracting, and with a lot of liquidity around, valuations usually expand, as we've been seeing. But net it all out, and I don't think it's a bad environment at all, particularly for fuller money themes, which are currently being led by mining. But energy looks as if it will be a significant performer in 2011. My concern is a price spike for crude oil. I hope it doesn't happen, but the market doesn't care what I am hoping for in here. I think that the price is much more likely to move upwards than downwards out of its current broad trading range. If it moves up slowly, that won't be too much of a headwind. If it starts to run on a feeding frenzy of speculation or supply fears, then that would become a significant headwind for global stock markets. But that hasn't happened yet. But forewarned is forearmed. That's the main risk that I see, and a risk, additional risk, is the commodity price. Sorry, beg your pardon, the agricultural price inflation, which I think we will see. That will be more significant in the developing markets where there are more poor people than in the West. But it affects us all. And so that is a risk. As of today, it's not a serious problem, but the chart patterns show the potential for it to become a problem. Again, forewarned is forearmed. Today, though, I think is still a money-making environment in commodities, in equities. Fuller money themes are doing very well. I'm grateful for that, and we, I think, can harvest further gains in these markets. And if we get significant commodity price inflation, then it'll be prudent to take some money off the table. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? The steady action that we see today, I think, is due to Bernanke's comment, as I said before, that he was prepared to engage in more quantitative easing if necessary. So after some weak, after a weak period in recent months and also last week, we get a bit of a bounce today. My strategy is to sell these rallies in long-dated government bond futures and then to cover or partially cover on the sell-offs. I'm concentrating on the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond futures because they get a little bit more volatility, and that's ideally suited to the baby steps type of trading operation that that I'm operating. I'm not taking huge positions. I'm taking moderate positions because I find that less stressful, and it's a nice little earner if one is selling high and buying low, as it were, within the ranges that are forming. And I think long-dated government bond yields are slowly bottoming out. Therefore, long-dated government bond prices are slowly topping out. The ranging activity makes it an ideal environment for the baby steps tactic, and I don't think the risk is that high. The only way these long-dated government bonds, in the U.S., for instance, the only way those yields are going to go significantly down from current levels is if the U.S. Slides into a severe recession. A lot of people have been forecasting that, but that's not the trend that we see in terms of the economic data that's coming out, and people will comment and have commented that, well, the growth that we have seen, modest though it is growth achieved with the help of steroids. Sure, but that's not that unusual a set of circumstances, and we also see regions of the globe absolutely prospering in this environment, and that's very good for U.S. multinational companies that are leveraged to the China-led GDP growth, and that's a major factor keeping the U.S. economy above water, and I think it'll continue to do so. Okay, what about precious metals? Well, I think there are plenty of reasons why we'll see them move further to the upside. And the action is very firm overall. Having seen some mean reversion towards the 200-day moving averages, not that much in terms of the front runners, but we have seen some ranging consolidation. I would only really be concerned if we saw these markets start to do unbelievably well relative to what we've seen so far. In other words, if we get a feeding frenzy, then I think it will be important to tighten stops and take some positions out, take some profits. But that hasn't happened today, and I think one wants to have a good, reasonable exposure to that precious metals sector. I do. I'm playing it through the laggard palladium, and I certainly expect that to perform if the others are performing. And I think it's probably got a little bit less risk because it has judging from the price action, it has fewer speculative positions at the moment. Silver and palladium are the current leaders, particularly palladium. And what else to mention in here? I talked about the mining shares being strong generally. Uranium has been the top performer along with rare earths metals in the last 2 or 3 months, and I think that those patterns can support additional gains, not least in the price of uranium itself, and in the shares, which have only just broken up out of some very, very big base formations. So, interesting times. And on that note, all the best to all of you.